Tonight we turn in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. The portion of the chapter we'll meditate upon and hear a word preached on is verses 25 through 32. We'll begin our reading at verse 19 and read to the end of the chapter. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And now begins the text. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We'll end our reading there. As I said, we'll focus especially on verses 25 through 32. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you may remember from a few weeks ago we had two confessions of faith, Mason and Carter Vander Kalk. And for that confession of faith sermon, I preached on the verses that we began our reading with tonight from Matthew chapter 6. The word of Jesus to the church that we are not to lay up treasures here on this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but we are to lay up treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I thought I would follow that by preaching for our prayer day worship service on the section of verses that come after that in Matthew chapter 6. And there is a related theme between what we considered for that Confession of Faith sermon and what we will consider tonight for our Prayer Day sermon. And the theme has to do with the Christian's relationship to the things of this earth and how we go forth in our lives here on this earth. Jesus generally warns against two dangers. On the one hand, there is the danger that we live with a covetous heart, and that the purpose of our life is to amass the things of this earth. That's what we considered for that Confession of Faith sermon. But on the other hand, there is this danger. As we think about our earthly existence, we worry. We take thought, as Jesus says, for our life, what we will eat, drink, and how we will be clothed. And that danger we consider tonight for our Prayer Day service. And we do so because it fits for what Prayer Day is about. Prayer Day concerns our earthly existence. We come together at the beginning of the planting season, the time in which the farmers go out to the field soon and put the seed in the ground, knowing that in the coming months, the growing of that crop and the harvesting of that crop, and therefore the means that God is pleased to use to provide for our earthly existence, is entirely dependent upon God's will and God's control and God's care of His people. And so this passage applies. As we think about our earthly existence, the Lord Jesus teaches us in these verses to not worry. Take no thought for your life. Let's consider that. We'll use that as the theme. Take no thought for your life. Let's look at the meaning of that admonition. And then in the second place, we'll consider the reason that we are not to take thought and worry, as Jesus explains in these verses. Beloved, the Lord Jesus is the preeminent teacher. He always, in His teaching, so beautifully and so powerfully lays out truth that He knows His people must hear. And a very good principle of teaching is laid out in the verses that make up our text. And that is the strategic repetition of a main idea. And you'll notice in these verses that the Lord Jesus repeats almost the exact same words on three occasions in this section that our text is found. And the repeated word of Jesus in this section is, therefore, take no thought. Notice that in the beginning of the text, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Then he comes to verse 31, and we read, therefore, take no thought. And though we won't consider this in detail, the end of the chapter in verse 34 says, take therefore no thought. Clearly the word of Jesus tonight is, take no thought. And that's where we begin. That's not how we would put it in our everyday language. We don't use that language anymore. Take no thought. In fact, at face value, that may lead us astray in our thinking. What Jesus is saying here is not that we are never to think about what we eat and what we drink and what we are to put on for clothing. That's not what take no thought means. In fact, the reality is, as Christians, we are to think about those things. We are to think carefully about those things. That's what we're doing right now. We are coming together for a Prayer Day service in order to think about things pertaining to eating and drinking and the clothes that we will wear, generally our existence here on this earth. Of course, we need to think about these things. The point of Jesus' instruction is not that we are not to think about them, but that there is a right way and a wrong way to think about our earthly existence. And He warns us against thinking wrongly. Take no thought means don't worry. Don't be anxious about your life here on this earth. Interestingly, that word translated take no thought has as its most literal idea a reference to that which is divided or something that separates. And I find that striking because very often anxious minds are characterized exactly by that reality. When we are overcome with a certain anxiety or a worry, how do we sometimes describe that? We describe that as a mind that is all over the place. We're thinking about this and we're thinking about that, and it's all swirling around in our mind, and there is no peaceful rest in our mind and in our soul and in our heart. The literal idea of take no thought is a dividing, a separating. And even right there in that idea, you see where this is going. You see what the remedy to anxiety and worry is. It's a singleness of mind. It's a setting our mind and heart upon one thing and fixating on that one thing, making sure that it's the right thing. And ultimately, as we'll see tonight, it's to set our mind upon God and who He is as our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. The word of Jesus is, don't worry about your life, what you eat, drink, and what you wear. And what Jesus means by that is generally, don't worry about earthly existence. Don't be anxious about that. The drinking and the eating and the clothes that we wear are representative of all of the things that are required for our continued life here on this earth. Similarly, when Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer to pray for our daily bread, that daily bread represents all that we need for the basic necessities of this earthly life. Similarly, by referencing the bread, the food, the drink, the clothes, that's what Jesus is getting at in this instruction. Jesus understands why we need to hear this. This is the word that He gives in the Sermon on the Mount, better labeled the Sermon on the Kingdom. And it's the sermon which has instruction in it for the citizens of the Kingdom of Heaven, for you and for me tonight as part of God's people. Jesus knows we need to hear this. And we need to hear it also in the form that He gives it to us. And the form is, take no thought. Don't worry. It's the form of an admonition, a command, an imperative. Because that's how we need to hear it. Notice what Jesus says at the end of verse 30. In giving this instruction, he puts at the end of that verse, O ye of little faith. If God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And the way that we read that tonight is what I need to hear, what you need to hear, because we are and can be at times in our life those of little faith. We have faith. Praise God, we have faith. Praise God that God by His Spirit has worked in us faith so that we believe. We believe in God. We believe Him to be our Heavenly Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Gospel. We have faith, but we know that at times it can be little faith. It can be a weak faith. It can be a doubting. There can be an unbelief in us that makes the faith a little faith. Because we still have that sinful nature. The very sinful nature that leads us to need to hear the word of Jesus, take no thought. The fact is, we can all be prone in the weakness of faith to worry about our earthly life. Will there be enough in the bank account to pay the bills and to pay the tuition? Is the stock market going to continue to trend now in the right direction, or are we going to see another major crash? And just at that time, when everything that I had accumulated and projected for later in my life, and now it's not what I had intended it to be. Am I going to contract a disease that when I go to the doctors, they are going to say to me, there is nothing that we can do in order to help you with that disease? Or the disease that I currently have, is there going to be healing and restoration from it? Is the economy going to continue such that I have a job? Or is the technology that is being so advanced today going to make the job that I have right now and the one skill that I've developed over decades, it's going to make that job obsolete and I'm not going to know what to do? Can I really give to this cause of God's kingdom and put a dent in what I have been saving up for this or that? These are all questions that simply illuminate the reality that there can be a fear, an anxiety, and a worry as it pertains to all that goes into our earthly life. But let's dig a little bit deeper and make sure that we understand why that can be the case for us. It can be the case for us because very much at times we can be, as verse 32 says, like the Gentiles. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. What do the Gentiles seek? They live for the here and now. That's why they care so much about food and drink and raiment and all that goes into earthly life. And the fact is, with our sinful flesh still in us, we can be like the Gentiles. We have that flesh of the Gentiles still in us that can make all of the focus about the here and now. And when you make life about the here and now, when that's where your heart is, when that's what you're thinking about, when it's horizontal in all of the thoughts and in all of the going forward in your life, that's when and that's why, in part, there can be the anxieties and the worries about this earthly life. We care too much about it. Or very simply, as those who at times have little faith, we live with our eyes off of God. We very simply don't wake up in the morning with the conscious reality that I stand before God. I live before this God. I look to this God. And we simply go through life forgetting that we have a God, that we serve a God, and that we are to live for that God. And then, the anxieties and the worries about this earthly life creep in. The word of Jesus tonight is don't worry. Don't worry about your continued earthly existence. He makes very clear why. The reason we are not to worry. And there's a lot here in these verses. I'd like to try to organize it under three main ideas as to why we need not worry about food, drink, and raiment, our earthly life. Number one, we need not worry because of who God is to us. And before we look at the pictures that he gives, the lilies and the flowers, let's take note of what is a basic, fundamental truth that undergirds all of Jesus' teaching in this passage. And it has to do fundamentally with who God is to you and who God is to me. And take note of what Jesus says in this text. He makes very clear who God is to us. He is our Heavenly Father. Notice what we read in verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. And then verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Jesus makes clear He is your Heavenly Father. And all three words there are important. Number one, Father. We worship and we know a God who is to us as a Father. And what it means to be Father is that you care for and provide for those who are your children. In this earth, there are good examples of earthly fathers who take that seriously and do so honorably. In this earth, there are very poor and ungodly examples of fathers who neglect that. But in this earth, no matter what it is, they are all sinful. Sinful examples. They're not perfect examples. God is not like that. God is our perfect Father. And we are to Him as His children. This is who God is to us, Father. And He is, with the second word, Heavenly Father. And that's incredibly important too, because what that does is make very clear to us tonight that He is able to do this. He is a powerful God. He's not an earthly Father. We all know what it means to be earthly fathers. We can want to do things for our children, in the care of them, in the protection of them, in the caring for them, in their earthly life. We may want to do things, but we can't always do what we want. Why? Because we're finite creatures. But that's not who God is. God is not earthly Father. God is Heavenly Father. He is the one who is high in the heavens doing whatsoever He doth please as God. And He is the one, therefore, as verse 32 says, who knows that ye have need of all these things. Part of being Heavenly Father is that He is powerful. And part of being Heavenly Father is that He is all-knowing. Father, Heavenly Father, but this word too, critically important in the text, your Heavenly Father. And beloved, that word your drives us directly to the cross and to the blood of Jesus Christ. Why you can say tonight, and I can say with you tonight, this God who knows all things, knows all my needs, is high in the heavens, is powerful and able to care for all of His people, that God is my Heavenly Father for one reason and one reason alone, and that is the cross and blood of Jesus. Because of Jesus' work, and on the basis of that work only, we who are guilty sinners and should be estranged from God, God looks down upon us and He says to us tonight, I am your Father, and you are my Son, you are my daughter. I see you as my children, and I act towards you as a Father. And therefore, you must know, because of Jesus and Him alone, I am your Father who will provide and care for you. You understand how the cross of Jesus Christ, therefore, affects everything. The blood of Jesus Christ changes how we view everything. The cross and blood of Jesus Christ affects the way we think about our earthly life. Because when I know this God to be my Father, and I know why He is my Father, and why He is my Father is for Jesus' sake, and I see that cross, and I see that bloodshed, and I see that is the greatest manifestation of God's love for me. Now I look at this world in which I live. I look at my earthly existence and I think about that God. And this I know then. He knows all of my needs. He loves me. He knows what I need better than what I know I need. And He will provide and care exactly as He in His wisdom believes and deems He must do. It all hinges upon knowing who this God is to us. And this God to us in Christ is our Heavenly Father. In the second place, as we think about why we need not worry about our earthly life, Jesus calls attention to beautiful pictures in the creation. Beautiful pictures in the creation that ultimately bring us to realize if God does this for them, how much more will He do that for me? And so the second reason, as we try to explain these verses in an organized way, let's take note of the pictures in creation that drive home why we are not to worry. A couple of things by way of introduction to this section. Number one, notice the way that Jesus starts each of the sections. Verse 26, He starts with, "Behold." And then verse 28 in the middle after the question, He says, "Consider." 26, "Behold." 28, "Consider." And those two words are important. We can't rush by those quickly. What Jesus is saying there is stop and think about this. Ponder the reality of the birds of the air. And meditate carefully upon the flowers of the field. Go outside. The sun is shining. The springtime is coming. And we're going to see, and we're already seeing and hearing the birds of the air. And we're going to see in the coming weeks and months the flowers of the field as they grow. And Jesus is saying, stop and ponder and think about them. This is how God created this world. He did it with an eye on the spiritual. Way back in the beginning when God said, "Let there be," He had a purpose in so many of those things. Ultimately, the glory of His name, but things like this also. So that as Christians, we're constantly confronted with the birds flying in the air, and we're constantly seeing the grass grow and the flowers bloom. And God says, think about that. Because when you think about that, you're going to learn something about who I am to you as it pertains to your earthly life. In the second place, by way of introduction to this point, the general argument that Jesus is making here is what we can refer to as an argument from the less to the greater. And the basic idea of that is if something is true for this, and it's less, how much more will it be true for that, and that is greater? So the less is the birds of the field and the flowers of the earth. If God does something for them, birds and flowers and grass, now think about you. Think about me. Who are you and who am I? Blood-bought, redeemed children in Jesus Christ. If He does it for them, the less, how much more can we know and be confident that He will do it for us, His redeemed children in Jesus Christ? That's the general idea. Let's look at the specifics now. There are two main pictures here. We can start with verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And this is what I just explained. Are ye not much better than they? Look at the birds, Christ says. They don't sow, they're not planting, they don't reap, and they're not gathering into barns. But yet, what is true of the birds? They have the food that they need to eat, and they're cared for. Because God sees to it that they have the food to eat, and that they are cared for. And at this point, it's worth pointing out that Jesus' instruction here is not that we are not active, and that we are not industrious, and that we do not work. The fact is, the picture itself points us in another direction. The birds outside don't go sitting on a branch and open their mouth and point it to the sky, and God, the Creator and Sustainer, then drop something into their mouth. That's not how it works. The birds themselves are active, industrious, and instinctually, as God created them, they go to work. And in doing that, not planning for the future, they're not sowing, reaping, and gathering into barns, but yet it's always there. God provides. So the point here is not that we don't do anything. No, we have to work. Goes right back to the beginning. Adam, you're going to eat. In the sweat of your face, you're going to eat. Paul, he who doesn't eat or work doesn't eat. We need to be diligent in our work. The point is not that we don't work. The point is, as you go through life, as you sow, as you reap, as you gather in barns, as we are called to do, don't worry. Be faithful. Carry out your calling. And then consider the birds. God cares for them. And as we are faithful and carry out our calling, we trust that God knows what we need and He will care for us. And then Jesus points us in the second place to the picture of the flowers and grass of the field. And that's verse 28 through 30. And why take ye thought for raiment? The other one was food. This is raiment. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The flowers, they don't toil. They don't spin. They're not working. They're not threading and making garments, but yet they're arrayed. They're clothed. And it's really a beautiful verse there regarding Solomon. Even more gloriously than the nicest clothes that Solomon could wear. And we recognize that there is a simple, inherent, glorious beauty in the flowers that God created. And the same argument applies here. If God does that for the flowers of the field, for the grass, which is for a moment, and then when dried, thrown into the oven and used for fire, if God does that for them, how much more will He do it for us? The third reason that we are not to worry is very simply, beloved, because it's foolishness and pointless to be anxious about our earthly life. We draw this from the question that Jesus asks in verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto His stature? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to His stature? The question is obvious. You can't. It's pointless. It's impossible. It does nothing. Just a little bit of explanation there. Stature can refer to two things. It can refer to either height, or it can refer to a length of time, a period of time, a lifespan. And really, I believe that that's the idea here. The idea is not that who by worrying can add a cubit 18 inches to their height. That's not, I believe, the point Jesus is making. Rather, the idea points us to a lifespan, a pathway of life. Who by worrying can add a cubit 18 inches, so to speak, to the pathway of their life, even that little bit? You see the difference there. 18 inches in height would be a huge deal. 18 inches in the pathway of life is just a little bit. And that's the point. Who by worrying can add but a few minutes to the length of their days? Jesus is telling us it's not edifying. It doesn't help. It doesn't get you anything. In it is only turmoil and distress. And you see how it all goes back to that first fundamental point. This is who God is. This is who God is to you. He knows what you need in this coming year. And He knows the beginning from the end. And in His eternal counsel, He has it all planned out according to His perfect will. And He knows the exact moment when He says, "Now the earthly life is done. I'm going to bring you home to heaven." We know Him as a heavenly Father. We know who He is to us in Jesus Christ. And so we need not worry about the life here on this earth. We're called to work. We're called to be industrious. We're called to be faithful to God's Word to us in that regard. And so in this coming year, we will, by His grace, strive to be faithful. And God has given us many other means, as we laid out in our prayer, to care for our earthly life. We need not worry about it. We trust. And we trust in this One. This One who is, for Jesus' sake, who loves us in Christ, our Heavenly Father. And so, brother, beloved, let's make this a matter of our prayers. This is a prayer day. We lifted these things up to God in prayer. By that prayer, we confess Him to be this God. We lay before Him all of our needs. And we pray that in that praying and in this preaching, God uses it to strengthen our faith so that more and more we rely upon our Heavenly Father. And more we are single-minded, not divided, single-minded. With that single mind upon who God is to us in Christ. And therefore at peace and at rest in knowing His loving care of us day by day and year by year. Amen. Our Father in heaven, again we thank Thee that we can address Thee as that Father in heaven for Christ's sake. Help us not to worry, and work in us trust in Thee, our God. And help us to see, in the coming of the springtime, beautiful pictures that direct us to who Thou art in the creation. What a God Thou art, worthy of all of our praise and worship tonight. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.